This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time right now, excuse me, is not time for me to get a lozenger. Time right now is 9:03, and it's brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Never clean your gutters again with Gutter Helmet. And Twitter, hit us there. We love it there. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. We welcome in our pal, our man. It is Wednesday. It is 9 o'clock. It's Wednesdays with Whaley. He's on the road, and he's getting it done. Hello, Doug. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm on the West Coast a little early, but always glad to come and talk to you guys.
Did you go fishing off of San Pedro in Long Beach where I told you to go, Doug?
I was thinking about it. I just couldn't do it time-wise because of the charters. A lot, the time I could get out there, they were all booked. But I'm going to do it now. I'm going to be proactive next time and try to schedule it before I get out.
You mean you couldn't be there at 4:30 in the morning when you got to load the boat and get all ready and do all that?
Yeah, that's not going to happen for me.
Right. Gotcha. Doug Whaley on the horn, presented by Nemacolin. That's our fan hotline sponsor. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. All right, Larry Ogunjobi. There's a lot of people saying he's got a lot of good football left. You watch him and he look like he does, although he's hampered with an injury. So if he has a lot of good football left and he's 28 years old, why was he available? And do you think he does have a lot of good football left?
Well, I think he was available because of that injury history. A young guy with some potential, some upside, but at 28, how come he hasn't reached that potential on a consistent basis? And as we always say, the best ability is availability. And that's the question, his availability. But for a signing at this time of the league year with what's out there and their need, I see it as a really nice fit. Again, but we will know, let's say, middle of August, early September, as long as he doesn't get nicked up in camp or some injury during the year comes up and bites him like it has in the past, then that's going to be the big issue. Can you depend on him?
Doug, we love getting the insight from the management side of things into situations that, to be quite frank, we've never had a chance to be a part of. So that includes what it's like when you sign a free agent, as the Bears did, and then you have to go through the entire process and you get to a physical that isn't passed. Walk us through that process and what it was probably like for the Bears and from Larry Ogunjobi and his agent's perspective as well.
So from day one, what will happen is someone from the organization will contact the player's agent. Say, hey, listen, this is what we are looking to do. We'd love to bring him in for a visit or talk to him about a potential spot on our team. You fly sometimes, a lot of times, especially in this case, you may come to contractual agreement and have all the layers of that contract and stipulations really verbally agreed upon. But there's always that one caveat. This is only going to be put into motion after he passes a physical. Fly the guy in for a visit, maybe take him out to dinner the night before. In the morning, you take him straight to the doctors. They check everything with the athletic trainer, the doctors, blah, blah, blah. And then that's when they give him the stamp of approval, like he's okay or he's not. So they must have found something that the doctors wouldn't sign off on and said, this physical, he did not pass. And then that's when you go back to the agent and you talk to the player and say, hey, listen, I know we verbally agreed, but the stipulation was you had to pass our physical you didn't pass our physical, so this agreement is now void. It's a really touchy situation, and it really is hard conversation to have, but you have to have it, and you have to really go with what you're – that's why you're employing your doctors, and that's why you have them on staff. And it, in the long run, if he has a lingering injury and it rears its head later and you ignore the doctors, then you're going to be on the hook for injury he'll be on injured reserve, so you're going to have to pay him and not get any production from him. And then it could also go into workman's comp. So it's really a financial issue that you shouldn't ignore what the doctors are saying.
Now, Doug, when we're talking about a physical, it's not like turn your head and cough, that kind of thing. Are we talking MRIs? Are we talking imaging, things of that nature?
Anything. They'll have a history of his past injuries, and anything that he had in the past that didn't, whatever it is, they're going to check it out, be it CT scan, MRI, all of that stuff. So if he had a knee, they're going to examine that knee and use every possible way to make sure that knee is going to be able to hold up through the rigors of an NFL season.
Duncan, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. It's Wednesdays with Whaley. Okay, this conversation has largely been administrative in things that you do from an administrative standpoint as a general manager. Let's talk about the human aspect. Everybody always says, you've been employed by them, that the Steelers do things from a human standpoint better than any organization in the NFL, right? Would you agree to that that's pretty accurate, right, before we start the questioning here? Is that accurate, the Steelers, how they treat people?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
All right. So that being said, is there a human element that comes in where they say to Mason Rudolph, okay, this guy pushed you down after another man swung a helmet and hit you in the face with it. Then he pushed you down in a moment of crazy, crazy nonsense that happened for all the world to see. You called him a swear word. It was wild. You disliked the guy. Are you okay, like, if we sign him? We're going to probably do it anyway. Do they run that past Mason Rudolph at all, or get these two guys together shortly after they sign him?
I wouldn't say I don't know if they said anything beforehand to him, but I know this much. When they both arrive for camp, or they probably may have reached out to Mason afterwards and say, hey, listen, we're signing this guy. But in the long and short of it, these guys are grown men. It was the heat of the battle. When you're a competitive nature and in a situation like that, people lose their cool. I think that there's been enough time that has passed, and they're both professionals, and they understand that what happened then, you can move on. People, in my opinion, especially athletes, in situations like that, when people lose their cool, they don't hold grudges. It's like NHL fighters. I mean, when you fight, it's over, it's done. So I think with the time that has passed, that everything's going to be okay. They may sit there and bring them together and everything. They're going to probably dap it up, and then it's going to be more of a story for us to talk about.
Because here's the thing, Doug. Here's the thing. Yeah. This might be one of those things where fans are concerned with something far more than the people who are actually on the field are concerned with it.
Absolutely. And I don't mean to be this analogy, but it's not like high school girls. They're not holding grudges for 15 years. So it's over. It's done with. Let's move on. And if this guy can help our team win and get me to where I need to go, let's do it. I'm signing up for it.
Well, let me circle back around then to the football aspect of this and just ask it simply and straight away. Can Larry Ogunjobi be enough to make up for the absence of Stephon Tuitt?
That's a great question. I would say in a rotation, it's going to be a collective effort to try to make up for what Tuitt brought to the table. I don't know if it's going to reach to that level, but it's something that you have a chance. I mean, Tuitt was a very impactful player on that defense. He was prototypical size. He was gave you stuff against the run, could rush the passer, and his just leadership on that team and what he brought in. It seemed like how his teammates rallied around him. That's going to be really tough to replace. And I don't think you're going to be able to replace it with just one person. It's going to be a collective group. I'm skating on this one, but we'll have to see. I right now I would say not to that level, but it's better than nothing. You got to do something.
Do you see him playing as much as Tuitt, though? I mean, how does he fit in sub-package-wise and in the base?
Well, that's going to be the key is, where is he? I mean, because I don't know that physical and what is really the issue why the Bears failed him and what are their plans to really try to keep him healthy? Are they saying, hey, this guy may have a degenerative knee and we got to really make sure curtail his practice reps and during the game maybe only play him 30-40% of the time? So until you get into the nitty-gritty of what his real physical ailments are, I'm not sure you can predict how much he will play. And in my opinion, just from the outside looking in, I think he's going to be a rotational guy that gives you snaps, and that's how he's going to be able to maximize his output for the Steelers.
Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Real quick on that whole Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph stuff, because a bunch of people probably circled back, watched the video yesterday, thought about it again, and even it's a non-story for this because you said everybody moved on. Did the NFL end up handling it right or not, in your estimation?
That's a good question. Until you know the exact what happened, unless you're in that room and you talk to Myles Garrett, you talk to Mason Rudolph, you talk to Larry, you talk to all those people that were involved and know exactly what happened, you really can't say if they handled it right or wrong. And we know that the NFL is not very forthcoming with issues of discipline and how they come to the resolution of these or the edicts of this discipline. They're not going to say, well, this is what happened and this is why we do it. And it seems to be really arbitrary about how they issue discipline. So I would say on the safe surface, yeah, they did an admirable job, but is it the exact right form of discipline? I don't know, because I don't know the facts that led them to that decision. That's a way to scapegoat out of it, but what do you think?
No, well, I don't know. It seemed to fleet away. It seemed that very serious thing that happened is one guy claimed another guy used an awful, terrible word, a racially insensitive word, and called him something that was racially charged, and then there ended up being really no resolution one way or the other. It just drifted away in the wind.
Yeah, and if you look at past things that the NFL does, that's usually how they do it. They wanted the story to die, put out some type of statement, give some type of punishment, and then they know that the next news cycle people will forget about it, except for people that it directly happened to. And here in Pittsburgh, we're a Steelers nation. It happened to us and one of our players, so we're going to hold that and really question it. But for the rest of the world and definitely the rest of the football ecosystem, they're like, oh, that's over.
It also helped that Mason Rudolph wasn't good. Like, if he ended up being a really good player if it ended up following him a little bit more, then I think it would have been a bigger story postscript, if you will.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. If it was Ben Roethlisberger, that's a different story.
Right.
So, yeah, I totally agree with that. But that's tough. And again, until you really know, until you get to that person that investigated and have all the facts about what happened, and it's because, as we all know, there's three sides to every story: one person's side, the other person's side, and the truth that's in the middle. So until you know the true truth, you can't really judge their discipline that they handed out.
So much more to get into. It's Wednesdays with Whaley. He's joining on the phone. We talked to Doug all the way until 10 o'clock. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. And listen, Pittsburgh, welcome to summer. It's officially here, right? And Dunkin's here to help you beat the heat. $2 medium iced coffee for DD Perks members. Reward yourself. Do that right now.
Yeah, cool yourself off later this afternoon when it's up in the 90s with your favorite iced coffee from Dunkin'. And you'll be more willing to soak up that sun all summer long. If you're not a DD Perks member, join today for free on your Dunkin' app and start earning rewards. You don't have the Dunkin' app? Download it today. Get it together. Exclusions and additional charges may apply. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Wednesdays with Whaley, Doug Whaley joining us via phone. Doug, I saw this story just moved, not just moved, but a little while ago from the Associated Press. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is taking Fitzmagic to the broadcast booth. Amazon Prime Video announced that Fitzpatrick is going to be part of the studio analyst's job for the Thursday night football coverage on Amazon Prime. Okay, so there's that, Amazon Prime Video. Number one, would Doug Whaley ever be a TV guy like that? And number two, who do you want to see do games? Like, whether it's an old player, a coach, or whatever. We've already got the Mannings doing it. We've got, you know, obviously Brady's going to do it in the future. Number one, would Doug Whaley do this? And number two, if not Doug Whaley, who would you want to see do this?
Doug Whaley would not do it, and I'm going to do a poor joke, but as they say, I got a face for radio.
We know the feeling, we know the feeling. Yeah. Continue.
But for me, Dave wants that. How great would it be to hear the Stash calling games with that Pittsburgh accent, and he would be able to really resonate with everybody in the Pittsburgh area because he would just say things that, oh, yeah, I know what he's mean. He's going down there. So I would love to see Dave wants that calling.
Well, I think he does a good job on that Fox College football show mm-hmm. that he does sometimes. He's out in L.A. and does that, and he's with that group. What about from an NFL standpoint? Answer me this. When you worked in the front office, who's the one player – it might be Fitzpatrick, actually – but who's that player that you go, that guy would nail it as a Keller commentator?
Hey, you pointed out because what you want to do as a commentator – is somebody that can give you insights into the game. And the best insights are going to come from a quarterback and especially a guy like Fitzpatrick, a backup or a guy that really has to rely on his brain and his knowledge of the game to maximize his potential. And that's those insights that you can get from guys that are that smart, that know, all right, this is why they threw it here. Or look at this pre-snap read and be able to really give you the nitty-gritty of what a quarterback's seeing, what an offensive coordinator is thinking, or how they are trying to attack a defense. So it gives you that macro level of the entire game. Some guys, and in some positions, you're really narrowly focused, like a DB, especially a corner. A lot of times that corner is just like, all right, what cat do I have or what zone do I have to look at? And I read 1-2. But if you're talking about a free safety or middle linebacker or a corner or a quarterback, those guys have to really see the entire field and understand the mechanics of what the offense is trying to do and how the defense is trying to stop what they're trying to do.
Should networks be more interested in guys that can break down all that X's and O's stuff you just described or guys who have the personality to connect? You know, I think of like a Pat McAfee type.
Yeah, I think you got to do it. The really great ones have that combination because you don't want to get too technical because in the end, you're still really trying to entertain the audience. And for me, you asked me this, but I'm one of those people that when I watch football games, I turn down the TV and the announcers and I just put on music because I they're not going to tell me anything that I don't know. And if I don't know the players, they're going to show their names. So I'm not really astute in who's the best broadcasters, who's not, because I just don't listen to those guys. But with that said, knowing how this game and how the networks are trying to be, especially being in the XFL and saying, okay, how can we entertain the audience and get them to draw in? They have to really storytell and paint a picture and draw the casual fan. And I don't mean this in a bad way. They know they're going to get the diehard football fan, but they want that casual fan. They want that 12-year-old kid that is seeing a game for the first time to really be intrigued, and that's where you need that person that can give insight into the game but also entertain.
Wednesdays with Whaley. More next all the way till the top of the hour, till 10 o'clock. We talk to Doug. Hello, 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 hello. Doug Whaley, Wednesdays with Whaley. He joins on the phone. Doug, you know, Adam Crowley and I were just talking about this during the break not long ago. This whole Deshaun Watson situation took a little bit of a turn yesterday where they said all but four cases are settled. That being said, do we look at it like, okay, that's a positive for Deshaun Watson, or do we look at it like, okay, there's still four cases that are out there and that maybe he just bought silence for the other ones? What's the vantage now we look at this situation?
In my opinion, you look at it as it's closer to getting a resolution from the league office. Because when you have those four out there and he settled 20, I think, in my opinion, at some point, those last four, he's going to settle those. And then the NFL will say, okay, if the civil cases are done, we can't just wait around and wait for some other thing to pop up. We feel comfortable enough now that we can determine a punishment for Deshaun Watson. That's the way I look at it.
How long do you think it's going to be, Doug? Can the league get away with suspending him for an entire year? And by get away, I mean in terms of their relationship with the Players Association.
I think it would be a protracted fight, a prolonged fight, and I think that let me go back. If the cases were still pending, I think they would go for an indefinite suspension, and they would be, I think, have every right to do it, and the NFLPA would try to fight, but I don't think they would have a leg to stand on just because everything is 24 cases were pending. Now that it's at 20, and there's only four left, I could see them. I wouldn't say they would go for the full year for this, because I know that would really, I don't know if that would hold up in an arbitration. I think they may go to 10 games, 10 or 8 games, and I think it's really going to get reduced to about 6.
Do you think it's bloodier than the battle between the NFLPA and the league with the civil cases being not dismissed, but with what happened yesterday happening?
What do you mean bloodier?
Is it going to be, if the league suspends Deshaun Watson and all 24 of these cases have settled, is the word that I was looking for, do you think that the Players Association then says, well, these things were settled, so the punishment, we're going to try to drive it down a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. Now, because they're saying, first of all, it was civil and they've been settled, so there's no court cases if all 24 get settled, and there was no criminal. So what are we doing here? And then I read an article the other day, and I think it was at Pro Football Talk, that the union can say, okay, if you're going to penalize Deshaun for this, well, what about owners that have done it? Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, and even Washington Commanders, Daniel Snyder. Look, that punishment doesn't fit with what you doled out for the owners, and owners are supposed to be held at a higher accountability rate than players. So they're going to have a leg to stand on to fight this if the NFL goes too harsh. And then as an NFL, you got to think, do we really want to open that Pandora's box and that media nightmare?
All right, let's stay right there with the owners. What do you think, both professionally, personally, all of it, what do you think about the Haslams in totality? And what do you think about the decision they made through this now retrospectively on this whole process?
I think the Haslams are in dire straits, and they want to do anything and everything they can to win games. They don't want to be the Browns being the Browns, and they are exploring every option. They're throwing a enormous amount of money at an issue, and that's them trying to be a consistent competitor in the NFL. And people can say some of it's misguided and some of it's foolish, but the one thing that you can't say is they're not committed to trying to build a winner in Cleveland.
Do you know Jimmy Haslam at all?
I do not. I do not. I did interview with him once for the GM job before they went to John Dorsey, but I don't know him personally.
Well, let me ask you this, Doug, and these are two completely different situations, but I think they shed light equally on how the different organizations operate, and I'm curious your thoughts on it. We had Mike Tomlin telling this story on the podcast with Ryan Clark yesterday about how when Ryan Clark wanted to play out in Denver, Mike Tomlin essentially, even though he was medically cleared, had to shut it down because he had to value Ryan Clark's health and safety even more so than Ryan Clark was at that point. And essentially decided, much like the Steelers this offseason did, to put the man ahead of football, much like they did with Stephon Tuitt. You're talking about the Cleveland Browns and Jimmy and Dee Haslam, and they want to win more than anything else to the extent they guaranteed Deshaun Watson $320 million. Does that in and of itself, I guess, shed light on how different these two organizations are run?
No doubt about it, because when you look at the Steelers, they treat everybody like family. And I'll tell you a story. When I was a young scout at Pittsburgh, I pulled up to the facility. We were on the south side, and Mr. Rooney was there. Mr. Rooney opened the door, held the door open for me while I walked in and asked me about my family. That you're not going to have that everywhere with an owner of a football club. It's different. It's rarefied air. It's a family, and they treat people like family, and they don't treat people like employees that are going to help them win a championship and make a lot of money. So it is definitely different, and it's evident in how they approach their day-to-day activities and how they deal with certain situations like a Tuitt situation.
What percent of coaches in the league do you think would have made that Ryan Clark decision?
Oh, that's a good question.
Not Jimmy Haslam, that's for damn sure.
Let's put it this way. I can't remember where were they in the season and how close were they fighting for playoff life. If the playoffs were set, a lot of them would say no.
It was a playoff game, right?
Yeah.
It was a playoff game.
Yeah, it was a Tebow game.
Tebow game. It was a Tebow game.
The Tebow game. Oh, well, I would say probably around 10% of them would have sided with Coach T. The rest are like, hey, we got to win this playoff game. That's it. Especially if the doctors cleared him.
And if he says he can play, he's good to play, so he can be out there. Really interesting stuff. All right, one more segment, Wednesdays with Waylu. We take Doug all the way to the top of the hour. It is, as you can hear, all the time at this time, 9 to 10 a.m. on our show, Wednesdays with Waylu. Epic ending last segment here, sponsored by American Natural Eatery. A very good Wednesday morning to you. Tomorrow we'll be at the Fan Open out at Manor Valley. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be nice. It's going to be sunshiny. It's going to be wonderful. But let's talk to Doug until the top of the hour. Doug is where it's always sunshiny, where it's always nice, where it's always great in Southern California right now. Hey, Doug, Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement. One being no chance, 10 being absolutely 100% chance. What's the chances he's actually retired for good? I don't think he'll come back. Where do you think here?
I don't think he'll come back. I think Rob has done everything that he's needed to do. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And a lot of people don't remember one of the reasons why he lasted so long in the draft is he had a lot of people had failed him because of his back. So for him to squeak out as many years as he's done with that back, and now it starts to look turn to quality of life. What does he have to do? And that's a lot of things that the public doesn't understand. What did he have to do through the week to be prepared to play for Sunday? You hear a lot of guys saying, oh, I couldn't even get out of bed until Tuesday, and I really couldn't start doing anything until Wednesday or Thursday. And that's why you get these veteran days off. So in the end, He's a very smart guy. He's been financially astute with his earnings. He hasn't touched any of his base salary, and he lives off his endorsements. So I think he's set in that way. And I think he's the type of guy that's ready to just enjoy life.
Well, take me through that draft. I mean, 41 people were taken before Rob Gronkowski, who was a second rounder. Were there people who thought it's degenerative or it's something bad or he's not going to make it through more than a couple years?
Absolutely. It was buyer beware. I mean, if you draft this guy high, he may not even make it. You're always going to have to deal with that back issue, and that availability is that the doctors wouldn't sign off on it. So what return are you going to get on a second rounder that may play five games a year and maybe not even play more than 3 or 4 years? So that was a big issue. And give it to not only Rob for being able to do it, but whoever New England's doctors were to sign off and say, he can play and he can make it happen.
Would you make a Chase?
Because think about it, even when he came out in Arizona, he had missed the games because of that back.
My apologies, Doug. I didn't mean to cut you off there. What did you make of Chase Claypool saying the other day on that I Am Athlete podcast that he considers himself a top three receiver in the league?
I look at it this way. I mean, would you rather have him say, I'm the top three, or, yeah, you know what? I didn't have a good year. I'm the bottom three.
Mm-hmm.
You like a guy with confidence. Is he self-aware? Maybe that's something he's telling himself to really give him that push that he needs to really step his game up. But I have no issue with guys being confident. These are NFL players. If they don't think they're the best, they don't need to be in the league. So I'm fine with it.
Hines Ward was always trying to motivate himself. Was there anybody that you were ever around that sort of took it too far in terms of their motivation?
I would say not too far in a bad way, but Shady McCoy was a guy I was around, and he always had that chip on his shoulder that he wasn't a first rounder. But he used it to motivate himself, and it was always, hey, I still have to prove these people wrong and prove them that I am I should have been a first rounder. I should have been the first running back taken. But it was never in a detrimental way towards the team or towards his performance.
Is Shady McCoy a Hall of Famer? If you look at his numbers, I heard somebody make a case for this. And if you looked
okay,
at...
let me hear the case.
Oh, I can't copycat it. I don't have it off the top of my head. But somebody made a case. If you look at his numbers, they're not far... Like, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. But his numbers weren't far off. If you look at some people that are in, it's not crazy. Could it be because of longevity? Could it be because he was a compiler? I don't know. But they're not far off of what some people that have gotten into the Hall of Fame are.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. Not first ballot, for sure. I would say this. It would depend on the year and his competition. He's borderline. I'd say that. Definitely borderline.
Well, if you looked,
this is
a great question.
Chris is looking at it. It was Ben Maller on Fox. He was talking about it overnight,
okay,
maybe a couple months ago.
If you've ever looked at that Pro Football Reference Hall of Fame monitor page where they list every guy active and retired and how they have a grading system that grades them out, I'll read the names in order. And Earl Campbell is, I'm just going from the middle of the list. Earl Campbell, Jim Taylor, Gale Sayers. Now, a couple of those are short in career, sure. And then LeSean McCoy, and then Curtis Martin, Leroy Kelly, Tony Dorsett. I mean, again, Colin brought up the accumulator point, but it's, I think, an interesting question when a guy goes to 6 Pro Bowls, is twice an AP All-Pro, and has a couple of rings.
Yeah, I'll say this. If he gets in, I'm not going to say he doesn't deserve it. But, yeah, that's a good question. I have to, and that's something I haven't really thought about, and I have to, like you said, look at this stage and look at his numbers. I know just what him as a player, he's definitely in that consideration because of how he played the game and just the eye test. Now, numbers, I don't know. I'll trust you guys on how his numbers stack up. But if his numbers stack up and the eye test, I could see him getting in. And I obviously have a soft spot in my heart for him because, one, he's a Pitt player. And, two, we traded for him at Buffalo, and he brought some great years to us at Buffalo. And then that guy was a dynamic player.
I think you're not a Hall of Fame player unless the question is asked, hey, Doug Whaley, is LeSean McCoy a Hall of Fame player? And Doug goes, yes, you're a Hall of Fame player. Like that, to me, that's what a Hall of Fame should be. You ask the question and the answer is bang, yes, no thinking about it.
Yeah, I used to be that way, but from that conversation we talked about way back a month ago, the game has changed.
Be careful,
so
Doug.
Your criteria has to change. And then stats, you really got to really temper that because of now the number of games have gone up to 17 and probably going to 18. So there's so many variables that I used to be that way. Now I'm going to have to say you're really going to have to be error specific. In his era, Shady McCoy, is he a Hall of Famer compared to other guys, other running backs in his era? And I'd have to say he's in the conversation.
What do you think about Jack Ham, by the way?
He's a Hall of Famer.
All right, there we go.
He's a Hall of Famer.
All right.
He's one of the best to play the position.
Perfect.
Wow.
Perfect dismount. We'll catch you next week. We appreciate it, as always. Wednesdays with Whaley is so wonderful. Thank you, Doug.
Hey, epic ending. I want to let you know, anybody remember that song, Tony, Tony, Tony? It doesn't rain in Southern California.
They're lying.
And guess what? I'm looking out in Manhattan Beach, and it's raining, but it's sunny. So it's raining in Southern California.
Well, there it goes. Thank you. Nice weather forecast.
Safe travels, Doug.
It fits right in. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Now's the time. Get a great deal on a newer pre-owned vehicle. Great service, too. You'll find it at Sun Chevrolet. Fan weather, raining in Southern California, but you're most likely not there. You could be listening on the Odyssey app, though. And if you are, it's raining there. But in western Pennsylvania today, high of 91, afternoon thunderstorms. Tomorrow, sunny, high of 82.
That's the weather.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.